you let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Hello, everybody. It is 7:01 p.m. on the East Coast, and we're doing the Tuesday night edition of this show on a shortened week, as we're just looking at in between that no man's land between Christmas and New Year's. And it's a week in which nothing's really going on. The only industry that's still buzzing with the prospects of even bigger fourth quarter profits than they already have received is the liquor industry, I have to imagine. Everything else is just everybody's kind of sleeping, jerking themselves off a little bit, and trying to nod off for the last couple of days until the terrible January 2nd Monday comes and ships us all off to another dose of 12 months. That's it. And that's the only real thing that gives us any kind of semblance of what a year is, you know? Everybody being so keen on telling us how bad 2016 is deliberately being to us right now, how the four numbers 2016, 2016 have just been so spiteful. Because of course on Sunday morning everything will be fine, and nobody will ever die again. Nothing. And we're thinking about Carrie Fisher here, dying. Now, when we were talking about this on Friday night, when we had received the news about Carrie Fisher having the heart attack, 15 minutes left in her flight from London to L.A., the first bit of information that came out that was real information from the get-go, because remember, the second round of updates was that Carrie Fisher was stable. And of course she wasn't, and now she's dead a couple days later. And what are you going to say? She went 10 minutes without a pulse. So whether she survived it or not, came out on the other end, she wasn't going to be the same in a cognitive way, in a cognitive sense or in a physical sense. So that was a game changer right there, just the event itself of going into cardiac arrest on the plane. And, you know, it's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. And I guess the good, the silver lining with all this is that you have you have the last time that Carrie Fisher graced the screen. She was young again, you know? It's the last frame of Rogue One was Carrie Fisher. From 1976, digitally recreated. And the last thing she said was hope. What does this give us? It gives us hope. And what has really 2016 been a story of, but having a chance at a chance again amid all of the craziness? Now, of course, even that is subjective, because some people would tell you that without question, 2016 was terrible, especially because half the country didn't get the president that they wanted. The other half just plugged their nose and hoped for the best. So it's all subjective. I understand that. But very, very, very odd way to leave off. And I was thinking about it before. What if, you know, and I know it's loony and crackpot of an idea for a very specific reason. That what if in some cosmic karmic plot Harrison Ford's life was spared because Han Solo was killed off in episode 7? What if he was supposed to be the next one to go? But there was some sort of a, I don't know, there was some sort of an atonement for saying goodbye to Han Solo and having it be so definitive that it actually passed on. It actually passed on to Carrie Fisher. Now, of course, the reason why I say that's crackpot is because no man or woman is immortal. And if no man or woman is immortal, then what the hell does the order of death even mean? If it weren't for that, then the real question is, what do we really know about life? And what can we really say definitively about consciousness? What can we really say aside from the fact that there are some people that had a lot more time to spend on themselves and spend on developing their philosophies for life and the universe, and the rest of us who don't really have that much time to put into all this are just sitting back and looking for a really good, well-timed quote, a really good quote to bring us up, to raise our hopes, and there's really nothing there. There's really nothing there but just hoping that somebody else has a better idea of what's coming on the other side of that last breath we take, because we don't really have any fucking clue. We hope that we have a clue, and we hope that whatever it is very, very... I mean, there's so many things. Like, think about this one. This one kills me. You have reincarnation. You have a couple other reasons for people to think that there's something afterwards. And you have people that think that nothing happens after you die. They all have valid arguments to make, because nobody knows. But what about shit like this? What about the waiting to die after everybody before you had gone? What about the hope of being able to see the people that you spent your life with in some sort of an afterlife or a reincarnation, having another round with somebody? But what if you lose somebody you love 25 years before the day you die, and that person, for whatever reason, didn't wait for you? Or maybe whatever the system behind all of this is just throws somebody right back into the life grinder, and they pop up somewhere on the other side of the world to completely new parents, and there's no way that you're really going to know if you're ever going to meet them again or anything like that. And in either case, you're 25 years apart. By the time you start your next life, the person you wanted to see is already 25 years into your other life, and you're not even going to have really good cognitive function for another 10 years. And fucking forget about the time that you're going to find philosophy, then you're dead. Your other guy, your other friend that's been reincarnated is dead too. So there's so many things that kill me here, because there is no way of knowing. And Carrie Fisher, who knows what the hell is going on, but it's a life worth celebrating, a body of work worth celebrating, because that's what we do when people that rise within their own industry get accolades. You know, somebody in a DPW dies, all the people that there remember them for one reason or another. Just so happens that Carrie Fisher was working in an industry that has an unbelievable amount of public scrutiny and coverage and all that. So when an actress, an actor, a musician dies, there's always a little bit more there that some people think they don't deserve, or that, you know, move on, holy shit, oh, blah, blah, blah. You just gotta understand, motherfucker. Okay? She wasn't a garbage woman. Okay? She was an actress. And it's... So there's a lot of different things going on here. You have the people saying enough, enough with the Carrie Fisher already. You have people that are trying to figure out more. What's that? Mike, why isn't that on? Try that now.
People are already saying that? It just happened.
Yeah, people are saying it. Because she's been, I mean, first of all, she's been out for forever, however long. You have this other one, and of course, this is just a way for people to talk and get something out there. Here's Hillary Clinton's BFF. This is from Heat Street. Neera Tanden. As millions share their grief over the loss of an iconic woman, Hillary Clinton's former policy advisor, Neera Tanden, chose to appropriate Fisher's death to promote herself, and in doing so angered many of her followers on Twitter. Tanden, who faced global humiliation when her potty-mouthed emails questioning Hillary's judgment were exposed by WikiLeaks, and was quick to offer her opinion on Tuesday on Fisher's legacy. Upon learning Fisher's death, she shared her hottest take on the actress's writing, saying, "I love the badass Carrie Fisher of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back as a girl, not as into Return of the Jedi, and I mourn her loss." So people are just saying, you know what, who fucking cares if you don't like Return of the Jedi? Because, of course, it's just a slight, the fact that she wore a bikini in it. Okay, so there's that going on there. Everybody wants to just make sure that everybody knows we really respect Carrie, but we don't like the, what was done to her on screen when she had to wear the bikini. Because it was women and the women. Everybody puts on their feminist shoes.
Just to make sure we're all appreciating the same thing. She wasn't just a piece of ass. Does everybody realize that? She was a strong princess in space. She strangled Jabba, okay? She strangled him, okay? A weak woman can't do that. You see how big Jabba is?
We get it.
You know, she filmed all of her parts.
Oh, she did?
For episode 8.
Okay, so then they're going to have to try to find a way to kill her. You know the way. You know what they'll probably do? I wouldn't be surprised if they take some close-ups of her, they put her on some kind of a transport ship, and they get caught in some kind of a, I don't know, some kind of a dogfight, a space battle, and her ship goes down. And there's a big, like, moment of, oh, God. Well, you have to.
Yeah. You have to. I'll tell you one thing. Episode 8, I mean, not that it wasn't going to have a massive turnout as it was, but, you know, everybody's going to go see that film.
Yeah. Here's TMZ. Yeah, everybody's going to show up. TMZ, Carrie Fisher died Tuesday morning, days after suffering a massive heart attack. Where's the thing I wanted to get out of this? Nope, I don't see what made me get that. It's bad enough I have to swallow a lot when I bring up TMZ. I don't like it. So delete that. So that's that. It's been really interesting. Really interesting to contemplate. One other thing I want to move on to. Let me go. And guys, if you want to call in and talk about anything that's on your mind as it pertains to Carrie Fisher's passing or anything else, call on in. Remember, this week is going to be on top of the hard stuff. I know we're talking about death, but I don't know.
I think it makes people really uncomfortable that everybody's dying. And like a lot more people are dying in 2016, celebrity-wise and stuff, because it's just a constant reminder, probably more so than in recent times, that death, that this, like, it's a constant reminder of our mortality over and over again.
That's
it. And people don't know how to deal with it, and they think, and they're really hoping that this is a curse of 2016, but it's not, because what does that even mean? Like you said, it's a number. 2016 is made up.
And the other thing that kills me is, you know, if we were enlightened, even just to a slightest degree, I understand that everybody's looking for likes and shares and reblogs and all that stuff when they say shit like, "Oh, yo, goddamn you, 2016, for killing everybody and giving us Donald Trump." But, you know, it just goes to show that, A, We're just all very thinking very shallow. We're thinking very, very superficially. And B, we don't have the depth to consider it any other way. What we were talking about in the backyard today. Can anybody remember the biggest societal gripes of 2014 off the top of your head without go digging for the reasons why we were saying can't wait for this year to be over in 2014? I mean, it's every year is can't wait for this year to be over. Well, you know, the worst.
It's usually for people's personal reasons.
Personal reasons, and of course, whatever we can make into a pop culture phenomenon that kind of strings a common thread through all of us, and we can, you know, we can commiserate about something. There's always something very self-deprecating and funny and community-like of an activity when people can commiserate like that about society. And that's just what it comes down to. Gadget Doc, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to be a little metaphysical tonight.
Okay.
All right. So first off, before I get into that, they'll probably do Carrie Fisher the same way they did the governor. Let's be honest about it. They're going to CGI the hell out of her in episode 9. They got away with it in Rogue One. They're going to do it for her.
You think that they would actually go that? That's rolling the dice, man. You already got rid of Han Solo. You got to find a way to. If you're going to do something if you actually stretch her presence into episode 9, it's got to be very, very scant. It's got to be very, very scant.
Yeah, well, you know what did the extended universe have with them? You know, they were both because there was a lot more that was going on between Leia and Solo before we had if we go by the extended universe, before we have issues with Han Solo being killed. That's actually part of that universe. So there's a good chance that they're going to go ahead and just extend her out into 9, yeah. And she'll probably have an extended role. And think of all the money that her estate's going to get.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think that they're going to go into a time warp, and then old Princess Leia from 1976 is going to be in episode 9.
Yeah, they're going to figure out time travel and bring back 76. So what's on your mind in a metaphysical sense?
All right, so in a metaphysical sense, I wanted to talk to you about soulmates.
Okay.
All right, because you were talking about, okay, so somebody dies, and you're waiting and going on and so on and so forth. Well, there's the concept of soulmates, all right? So soulmates aren't necessarily romantic partners, okay? They're actually people that we have a soul connection with. So they could be very close friends. They could be children, parents, of course, people that we've had romantic relationships with. And somehow we end up coming together with our soulmates, and they're there to teach us a lesson. And sometimes there's a karmic lesson that goes along with it too. So let's say I was a parent in the past life. My son was my parent. So my son was here to teach me a lesson on parenting that I had to teach him a lesson about parenting so he could come and understand why his parent in the past life did what he did.
Right, but can you look to any evidence in your life or any evidence anywhere else?
I bounced twice and had a near-death experience.
Wait. You what, twice?
Bounced. Remember I had a parachute accident? Bounced twice.
Okay.
Bounced twice. I died.
So you died twice?
No, I fell from the sky.
Right.
1,500 feet without a parachute. Bounced on the ground twice.
Oh, you literally bounced.
I literally hit the ground and bounced.
Do you have a rubber core?
No. I shattered my right foot, right ankle, broke my leg in 2 places, broke my back in 3.
Jesus.
Took me and suffered neurologic damage. That's why I sometimes have convulsions. And, you know, it took me 6 months to learn how to walk again.
Wait a second. Can you talk about your near-death experience, or you don't like that?
Well, I do talk about it. I mention it.
Is there a way to nutshell it?
Very simply, there is a God, there is an existence, there is an other, okay? And the basic fact that I can give you, all right, as far as what this whole universe is about, is don't abuse people mentally or physically. That's the number one rule, okay? Don't hurt people physically or emotionally. You do that, you'll probably be okay with the big guy, okay? And then it's also very – To describe, it's an essence of love, okay? There's no pain, there's no suffering. I mean, it sounds cliche, right? That it's all love, it's all peace, it's all happiness. But no, it's not bad. It's you're not thinking about the trivias of this world, all right? You're not really you know, you can cut and to see the expanse is, you can see the expanse of time, if you will. And so there is no past, there is no present, there is no real future. It's like being able to absorb a book in a second. You can see it all. And, you know, how do you deal with people? You're able to interact with other souls. Okay. So that's kind of how it is in a nutshell. It's very peaceful. It's very pleasant.
What about the people with similar experiences where they have suffered some kind of a physical trauma or some sort of a near-death experience with an illness, a high fever, and they saw either blackness or something very, very terrible, despite what kind of a life they were living outside of it? Now, it wasn't necessarily an Ebenezer Scrooge moment, but some people who lived mediocre lives that weren't really harming anybody that had near-death experiences say the exact opposite, that there was dis-ease, there was unease, there wasn't a lot to look, or there was nothingness. What do you say to them?
I don't know what to say about people that said there was nothingness, because that wasn't my experience. Now, was I judged in a sense, and did I come up wanting in that judgment? You bet. And that's part of that NDE that I don't talk about, okay? It's just... So that's kind of why I've shifted the way I live, how I interact, how I talk to people from the way I was.
Well, thank you for all this insight. It's very, very interesting. So we'll get to keep it.
Oh, yeah. And it's a year nine. So if you want to go into numerology, numerologically, it's a year of endings. 2016 is a universal year of endings. So... It's everything's kind of coming to a natural conclusion, and we're resetting for the next 10-year cycle.
And what is 2017 is considered a year one?
A year one.
And why is that? And is that with you're adding something? What do you add up to get any of that stuff?
Okay, so for a universal year, right? You're adding the actual year number. So if you go 2 + 0 + 1 + 7, right? 7 and 1 is 8. It's 0 and. And then you add the 2, because 0 plus everything is not going to add anything, brings it to 10. Mm. You drop the 0, you have that two-digit number, 1 plus 0 is 1, it makes it a year 1. So 2016 is 2 plus 1, right, is 3 plus 6 is 9, which makes it a year 9. There's master numbers when we talk about... 11 and 22. Numerology is not necessarily the what I specialize in. I do understand it. I have a basic concept of it, but it is a natural year of endings. So we're coming out of that energy, and you can start feeling that, you know, we've all been kind of going through it's been like a muddy year, if you will. You know, that we no matter how hard we try, it seems like we're putting in that extra effort to push forward. Next year, it's going to be a lot easier.
Thank God for that.
Right. This is a year of reflection and planning. That's what this whole year was about. This was about reflecting, planning, and understanding the lessons that we've learned over the last period of time, so we don't repeat it in the next 10-year cycle.
Well, Gadsdoc, thank you so much for the call. Thank you so much.
One last point before I go.
Okay.
All right. You know, Carrie Fisher and all of them, they're baby boomers, most of them. They're coming to the natural – you're going to see a lot more of these celebrities dying, because guess what? The natural –
natural order of things?
Yeah, the expiration
date
for baby boomers is 70 to 74. So you're going to see a lot more of these people turning over. You'll have Kirk Douglas probably pass in the next couple of years, because the man's 100 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you start seeing these people,
you know, it's funny, on Christmas Eve, actually Christmas night, we're sitting around and we heard the news that some hoax that Dick Van Dyke had died. And everybody's, you know, my father's with us and we're watching TV and stuff like that. And, oh, Dick Van Dyke died? Dick Van Dyke died? We're looking around for all this information. It's like, oh, okay, he's not dead. But he's 90-something. It's just like, who? Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, he's still alive. Thank God Dick Van Dyke is physically breathing somewhere because things would have been different tonight. Everything is very, very... you talk about golden calfish over here. We've got some real fucked up ways of looking at things and ways at holding on to things. It's like we're holding on to things that don't even have handles. How do you even hold on to these things? Like we're trying to grab at ice or butter or something like that. It's just like slipping through our fingers. What are we trying to do? I don't understand. What kind of comfort are we trying to give ourselves?
It's a bigger thing for our parents' generation, because these are the people that they grew up with. These were their peers. All right, think about it. Jerry Lewis is 90 years old. My dad saw him when he was a young man in the movie theaters with Dean Martin still alive. Those were brand new movies when they were out. So you're talking about people's childhoods. You're talking about, you know, their coming of age. You're talking about, you know, when they first bought their house. So that's why it's so traumatic for the boomers. And the boomers are, you know, right around the largest – they say the millennials may have – not right now. The millennials have surpassed the boomers as the largest group simply because the boomers are starting to die out. And now they're starting to get to the – understanding, oh God, what have I done? Now they're coming to an existential crisis, because let's face it, a lot of the baby boomer was all about me. What's the most I can get out of things?
Yep.
If we talk about the group in a large general topic, of course that doesn't mean every baby boomer. And, you know, they left us with some great stuff, too. They left us with the internet and computers. And let's not talk down about our elder generation.
Right.
But you know, when they look at it on a whole compared to their grandparents, what have they done?
Nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. All right. Well, thank you for all the perspective, Gadget Doc. I want to hear what other people have to say in the chat room as well. So you call in whenever you hear something.
Right, I got to get out of here. Anyhow, I got to take the little man to his mom.
Tell Cam we all say hi.
Frank says hi, Cam. He says, K. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye. Okay, weirdo. And here we are. Here we are. You guys can call in at the Skype, the Quite Frankly Podcast Skype. I'll tell you, last night's show wasn't that bad to listen to. It's because I thought I got off and I was like, okay, number one, I was talking to Gadget Doc too afterwards. Number one, we got to just go non-political for the rest of the week. We got to take Friday off. Good night. Have a great weekend. Have a great year. We'll see you in 2017. I mean, I put it in the description of yesterday's show. We have been going at it every night of the week all year in one of the most tumultuous, dense, years for news and all of that shit every night of the week. The only time I wasn't on air is if I had a Little League game that night or the couple of days that we were off at VidCon in June. And I tell you, man, I felt it last night. Getting on air after on December 26th, the day after Christmas, I was like, you know, I don't want to talk about anything. I'm just tired. We did a lot. For a small little show, for a small little tribe, we did a lot. A lot. And thank you guys all again for being a part of it. But last night's show wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I went home and I uploaded the podcast. And I'll tell you, the audio podcasts are so much better to listen to. I love not being able to see a goddamn thing. So, that's just me. That is just me. Let's get around to some news. Yay! Chaos Reigns. All I kept thinking about was Tool's song, Anima, when I was reading this. SWAT teams dispatched, families flee from gunfire, and dozens are arrested, all for the sake of a few holiday bargains. Massive brawls break out as shoppers descend on malls across the country. Malls across the country were shaken by mass brawls and reports of gunshots. Incidents all occurred after afternoon and even Monday in at least a dozen malls, with police calls called in. Despite multiple reports of gunfire, no police department said weapons were found. No one was reported to be seriously injured. In several cases, arrests were made. There were some suggestions that at least one of the incidents was loosely organized on social media. There was no official word on whether any of the fights were connected. And I watched a little bit of this hilarious footage of people just fighting. Fighting like absolute animals. And I'm thinking of Tool. I'm thinking about the dumbfounded dipshits that Maynard told the world to look out for in the end when comets are falling and meteor showers are raining upon the earth and everybody's wondering. Everybody who is wondering and is concerned with getting into fights and starting brawls or organizing brawls and trying to get cheap gadgets the best you can, five-finger discounts, punch this one until they get knocked out, take their shit. I mean, all of these people, I know that doom is something that this planet is heading for one way or another. Okay, in this planet just being in this universe, in this chaotic, cold, just indiscriminately destructive universe where there's no emotion behind it, things collide, stars burn out, stars go nova. This is just the way things go. Planets are pelted by just projectiles going through space that are the size of Texas, moving tens of thousands of miles an hour. Comets, you name it. But whenever it happens, these are the few that are going to look around, duh. The world star hip-hop crew, duh. Well, and all I really want, if it comes down to a global killer or something that we're all going to be flushed away together, I just want it to happen to them first. Just let it happen to the dummies first, please. Let the dummies go first. That's all I'm asking. Just like last night, all I was asking for was for the fringe to be ignored again. For those of us to just who have a decent sense of grasp on reality, to just get rid of these lunatics.
But we're going to.
It doesn't. As long as I get to see the others go first and have them be all just very, very scared.
What? What's happening? Are we gonna be all right?
No.
Oh no!
I made a promise to myself that if I'm killed by a terrorist, ever, I will never show them fear. So they're gonna kill me if that ever happens, with just maybe a straight face.
Just a straight face. Just look. As they're cutting through your neck, just keep the face straight. You know, it's possible. It's possible. I mean, it'd take a great amount of control. But goddamn. Just keep that straight face. Show them that you don't care. Let me see. Here's another one I thought was interesting. This is from the Express.co. Science warning. Messing with genes could wipe out geniuses from the Earth. Let's read this a little bit, shall we?
There are hundreds, if not thousands, of genes that contribute to...
Oh, wait. Listen to this.
Genetic variants that contribute to Alzheimer's disease, autism... schizophrenia, psychiatric disorders, depression, intelligence. And so it's rapidly becoming clear that a lot of the genes that provide us with risk also provide us with an evolutionary advantage. And so, and not only that, but they're very well straddled or distributed throughout the entire human genome. So it becomes very difficult to use something like CRISPR-Cas9 to remove a gene for psychosis or remove a gene for Alzheimer's disease. because the genetic variants are literally all over the genome. And many of them also provide a genetic benefit, probably, or an evolutionary benefit, as well as a drawback.
So pretty much what he's saying is that all human beings have a have one of those organic chips implanted into their brains, just like the clones did in Star Wars. That who went rogue in the Clone Wars? One of the chips went haywire, and the clone Fives was onto it. I'll tell you, since we're a little bit on Star Wars, check out. Well, you have to watch all six seasons. But in the sixth season, man, does shit get really deep. The last three episodes of season six is all Yoda. First of all, he gets contacted by Qui-Gon, and he starts learning the techniques to achieve immortality. And then, of course, he goes on to the Sith homeworld, the ancient Sith homeworld of Moriband, and goes and encounters all this unbelievable, overwhelming amount of darkness. But he comes out. It's just so amazing. And then, of course, you kind of just want to leave. It sucks when you leave that the Clone Wars behind, because you have Anakin that's just, he's still good. And you can tell he was always tormented, but he always wanted to be on the right side of things. And it's just, that's the last time you see him. Last time you see any of them before episode 3 comes and it all goes to shit. And they were so close in season 6 to uncovering the plot to kill the Jedi that was built into all the clone troopers. So close. And you gotta see it. It takes place over the course of about 3 episodes, I think, in season 6 of The Clone Wars. It's on Netflix. Check it out. Take a couple of episodes out of it every week, whenever you can find it. They're 22-minute episodes. They're awesome. So that's what I would say. Guys, call into the show. Let me know what you're thinking. But going back to this article, there you go. New technology which allows medics to ensure children do not inherit diseases could also mean the likes of Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, might never be seen again, according to Dr. Jim Kozubek. Now, isn't this amazing to consider? If there's one common theme that I think that this show has really been embodying over the years, it is drawing the micro and the macro view on what humanity is, its relationship to government, in being that government is just a group of people who all have the same flaws that the individual does, that a small group of friends in a hometown somewhere have, all the little political and the emotional problems and the reasons to do or not do something. It's all there. And what do we also watch? We also watch why people propose that government grow bigger and assume more responsibility in people's lives, and the reason that they put it forward. And it's usually based in fear. It's based in how do we go and we tackle curing what is the most human thing out of all of us, which is our mortality, our frailty, our emotional, you know, roller coastering that we do, everything. You know, our insecurities, how do we overcome that? All of this shit. When you let those types of instabilities get into a bio suit that really becomes a massive federal government with the power to enforce law, to execute and launch war and all this stuff and stifle people's thoughts and teach them and provide. I mean, when you put all of that instability that it lies inherently in our species into the bio suit of government, there's the biggest reason why government should be small and limited, and why constitutions should not be living, breathing organisms so that they can be used and manipulated at the whims of the current generation. Absolutely not. Populism is there's not a lot of success in populism. But look at this. Why would we say that genetic engineering would be a really, really good thing for the future to go and explore further. Now, I'm not saying to stop exploration and learning about ourselves on even the most basic of chemical of levels. Nothing of the sort. But to go and start messing with genes and to try to remove genes and pick and choose the winners and the losers, okay? To pick and choose the winners and the losers when it comes down to genes, doesn't that sound a lot like government? Picking winners and losers, picking who is going to have the law enforced and who's not going to have to live with the enforcement of the law, who is going to be able to live without paying taxes, who's going to have to pay more. You know, what's good, what's bad, what needs to be evened out, what needs to be regulated. And you see all the good it brings. It brings social division. It brings economic disparity, even more so. And what it always usually comes down to is that when you look at the human being and the life of human beings in civilization, modern civilization, the best chances for prosperity we've ever had have been in deregulated, limited government situations where people are able to go out in a free market, test their ideas, compete against others, and just have it out. Let the better idea win. And that's where you get high degrees of equality and freedom and prosperity, as opposed to the everybody being equally miserable in an overwhelming nanny state that we're living under right now, that continues to be proposed to get to grow bigger and bigger. Now, you take that and you put it into genetics and what is just being outlined for us right now, messing with genes. Yeah, it sounds great. Maybe we can remove this gene and that gene, and we can put a governor on this one. We can reduce the amount of cancer that is diagnosed every year, or we can avoid this type of a disease or this type of a disorder. But, you know, the trade-off will be many people might become less exceptional. That's a trade-off I wouldn't want. Because why are we making that trade? To try to fix humanity again? To try to take away the fact that we are all frail and we are all finite? That's ridiculous. There's so much fear in us. It's unbelievable. And what are we always neglecting? What have we been neglecting? Look at the battle for hemp legalization. On an industrial scale, on a medical scale, recreation, that's a footnote. Look at what we can do. Well, look at where we should be going. We should be going to reconnect more with nature in a medicinal way, in a spiritual way. That doesn't mean go and become hermits in the forest and forget about what's going on out there. That doesn't mean trying to live in, you know, communes and all that. If you want to, then fine, go ahead. But I'm talking about really looking for ways to improve our overall health. Instead of saying, yeah, sure, go ahead, eat all the processed bullshit, lead lives that are just riddled with bad habits. And in the meantime, we're going to take your tax dollars and see what genes we can cut out to make us a little bit less human. I don't know. I don't want to see scientific advancement stop one bit. In fact, I say double down on space exploration and science. But I think that the reasons behind all of this stuff are very, very ill-gotten. That's what I just think. Do I have evidence for it all? No, it's just observation and thought. If you have something else to add, please call in. And while you think about calling in, I want to thank all of my bosses. The Patreon 1776 Club members, the 1984 Club members, the Tens, Jenny Lee, I think, and Christian Peppas from the Amatory Murder are our only Tens. So there's good stuff there. Max Ancaparato. He dropped a dollar in a couple of months ago. That's all. I just like seeing the contributors go up. We're at the 27 right now. Let's get the 30. Drop a dollar in. That'd be fantastic. But I want to thank you all very much. This show continues to get more and more of like at home, a feeling of being at home every night, which is good because before the show, it was a little bit frantic. Where the hell do we put our shit? And of course, the one thing that everybody does is they dump it on Facebook. I didn't want to do that anymore. So this is better. And thank you to all my bosses. Let's start off. Roll call. Okay, Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little, Mike May, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Peppers, Max Ancaparato, Rob Corrado, LS Dan. Got to talk about Dan again. I didn't mention him last night. I had to. Jackie Milam, Rudy Escarcega, Good Man Rudy, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShan, Pierre, Tony Federici, our good buddy Koss, Stephanie Evil from Gaslight.tv, Brent Antilles from the UK, Gadget Doc O'Connor, Marianne Hart. I saw something about how cheetahs, there's only like 7,100 left of them in the planet now. And they're going, they're, a lot of people are saying that they should be bumped from vulnerable species to endangered. So I know that that affects people like Marianne, who have a lot of interest in the life of big game cats. Jenny Lee in the chat room, Matt DeFabio, Brad Meyer, and Stephanie K. StephanieKBeauty.com. Guys, check out StephanieKBeauty.com on Instagram and, of course, on their .com. Amazing beautician creations. Okay, for all events, for all reasons, and awesome personalities. I think I have to go check the mailbox downstairs because all of the returned Christmas letters should be coming in soon now too, which I can't wait to start reading. But Dan Spratlin did something really cool. He sent a Christmas letter back, and he put in a Mercury Head dime and an ounce of silver and a coin. And the coin was, I guess, some kind of commemorative coin. It's a freedom of assembly coin, which I think is very, 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 very symbolic for what we do every night. We are peacefully assembling right now. This is a show that celebrates the First Amendment. It wouldn't be allowed without it. And there was a lot of anxiety going into, the November election because of the First Amendment. Because of the things that Hillary Clinton and her campaign were saying about what periodicals or what magazines and what websites should be allowed to function and what type of speech should be curbed, and there's a lot going on there. The NDAA for 2017 that was just passed doesn't look too good either. But man, oh man, there was a real crisis at one point. I didn't know if this was going to be something that really sticks around for a while. Because if you know, Google follows suit. Now, Google knows where the wind blows. You can already see that people like Google are starting to go out and reach out for conservatives and people on the opposite of this progressive train to join their staff, which I think is very, very smart of them. Because the wind is blowing right. And I feel like some places are saying, you know what, we better get with the times and we better balance out our staffs. We better balance out the type of opinions we have. We have to stop because if you don't have that balance, and balance is huge. We talk about it. That's another theme of the show, balance. If there's anything that can happen, is the balance of the media in incorporating different types of voices. It needs to be so. If not, then the crazies are just going to get crazier because there's nobody there to check them. And here's another thing I wanted to bring up. For everybody that really that knows shows like Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec is a great, great show. I recommend anybody to watch it. I was a latecomer. I didn't watch it until it got added to Netflix and then many, many months after that. But Lauren and I watched it. We really enjoyed it. And the one thing I always really honed in on was, of course, Ron Swanson. I gravitated toward him. He's a self-identified libertarian in the show. I know that Nick Offerman is liberal when it comes to his personal life. But if you really look at what goes on in that show, all of the characters are so manic. And I know that Ron has his own manic type of behaviors too, with some of the dysfunctional relationships he's been in, or with all the Tammys and whatnot. But other than that, he's the guy where every overly emotional person with a good heart comes to for some cold, sound reckoning, for some good logic, and for some good advice on where to go and what to do. And you know something? It's an endearing character. And you're able to actually say, you know what? He's right. You know he's right, because he wasn't turned into the crazy butt of the joke type of Republican type, where, okay, well, there's the opposing figure and he's the heel of the joke. It wasn't. He was actually a father figure, the great uncle type of figure, that the people that, you know, where you have your ideals, but then again, there are people in your life where you just cannot deny their logic. And you sometimes can't stand that you have to hand it to them for making a point. And I think that that was the type of balance that is missed all over the place. Now, obviously, the show is, it's got its messages in there, but there was balance. And that's what we got to see a lot more of. And I'm hopeful for that in 2017, because if anybody wants to really look to the future, you have two things. And especially if you're a Democrat or some kind of if you identify anywhere on the left side of the spectrum. If you're looking at 2016, don't sit there and say, God damn this fucking year. God damn 2016. God damn it all to hell. And fuck you, 2016, for doing this to us. Don't do that. Get into the habit of postmortems. Look at something after it's died. Reflect on something after it's died. After it has to move on. After it's stale. It's not needed anymore. Reflect on it. What has happened here? What did it cost me? What did it cost the people around us? What was the platform? What was the intention? And what was the means that was driving all of this stuff? If you have that, if you have the guts to actually pick something up and say, what is going on here? What happened? And you're able to ask the questions that you maybe didn't have the courage to ask yourself when you were in the middle of it and you thought there was no way in hell that your team loses. So much so that you lost sight of all of the very obvious things that you were doing to thwart yourself. You know, the writing was on the wall. A lot of the polls were bullshit. A lot of people thought so. I was going into election night thinking, hey, listen, Hillary and the DNC has already stolen and made one election obsolete, and that was the primaries for the Democratic Party. If that happened then, and if all of the WikiLeaks have come out, and we're seeing and we're learning all this true, terribly ugly stuff about them, and nobody seems to care, and the poll numbers aren't really changing, then what chance do we have of beating this woman in the election? Not because I think she has good ideas and people believe that, just because I think that, I don't know, people don't care, and integrity is gone. But there was a lot of things that wasn't making sense. The poll numbers, as opposed to who was showing up to the rallies and who wasn't showing up to the rallies. There was a lot of things that some people saw that other people just thought was impossible to even think that it would turn out any other way. But you know, when you're being gaslighted constantly, it's tough. And that's why you're sitting with your heads in your hand after a death, whether it's a political death or anything like that, and you're sitting there thinking, what happened? What did we do wrong? But you're unable to look at what you might have done wrong, and you're unable to consider that some of the things that you did wrong are probably the platform itself and the way you put yourself out there and the way that you demeaned other people and the pomp. I mean, it just there's just so much pompous, fascistic ways of thinking and talking that go on out there. Coming out of the mouths of the people who say that they're for the little guy. And they just don't see what kind of a trap they've laid for themselves. So that's what I would say. I don't know. I don't know. Dan, thank you so much for hanging out, man. I see you in the chat. Have a good one. But what else can we say? Genes, messing with genes. So I'm deleting that. Oh, listen to this. Virgin Airlines, Australia. Virgin flight passengers vomit after they were served Parmesan cheese sandwiches, which made the entire aircraft smell like old socks. Can you imagine that? Virgin passengers were left sick. They were left sick Parmesan cheese sandwiches. Parmesan cheese sandwiches stunk up the flight. Oh, wait. The Parmesan cheese sandwiches weren't bad? A passenger on Perth to Adelaide flight said that aircraft smelled like old socks. She added that the woman next to her was heaving into a sick bag for 2 hours. Virgin Australia apologized to the woman and the passengers on the flight. Why the hell would Virgin, offer Parmesan cheese sandwiches?
Parmesan, what the hell they put in it? That's it? Parmesan cheese? Have that when I get back home.
A passenger has taken to Facebook to suggest Parmesan cheese sandwiches are probably not the best snacks to serve on a plane after it filled her flight with the smell of old socks. The passengers on Virgin flight on Christmas Day were served complimentary snack on the journey, and they gave a Parmesan cheese sandwich. Who the fuck? I mean, Swiss cheese, maybe. Even though some Swiss can be stinky, too. But still, there's a reason why people mostly grate Parmesan cheese to put it on top of something. You know, Parmesan is very, very, I don't know, man. That's pungent when you leave it in its own wheel. So there you go. And this is the type of humanity. See, this is what I'm talking about, everybody. There is no reason. Humanity just shows us some of the funniest things. All the bad decisions we make that cause people to vomit and that cause people to do this and that. We just make bad decisions, and they're terrible for the people on the flights, like the one we just read about. But other than that, it's kind of funny for us to sit back and chuckle and go, my God, we'll always keep looking for something. And on the journey of looking for that something, we'll always get somebody to upchuck something. All right, guys, that's it for tonight. Tomorrow night is the Wednesday night broadcast at 7 p.m., and then Thursday will be the last one of the week, last one of the year. You guys kick ass. Marianne Hart, thank you. Nikki, everybody else in the chat room, hope you're all doing well. Good night, everybody. Be good.